As parents, we need to accept our God-given responsibility to train our children in God's way. It's our responsibility. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, you remember, he says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he says, he will not depart from it. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, this is nothing new to God's people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gate. You need to be teaching your children these commands that I've given you all the time. When you rise up, when you're laying down, when you're walking about, whatever is going on. You need to be teaching your children these commands that I've given you. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning there, or actually reading verse 4, says he, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's a responsibility that we have. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them to observe what the previous three verses, or the prior three verses, have said there in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We need to teach them that. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, these are things that we need to teach our children. You know, too many times and too often it seems like we feel like the church is supposed to teach our children. The church can assist, yes. And should, you know, that's why we have Bible classes for all different ages, you know, to help teach. But the responsibility is ours. I mean, that's where it falls. It falls on those of us who are parents. And so God's Word has got to be our guide personally. It's got to be our guide in the home. But as well, it needs to be our guide in the church. It needs to be our guide here in the church. That means a couple of things. One, it means that preachers must fulfill their duty to preach sound doctrine. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning there in verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What you need to do as a preacher. As a minister of God's word, you need to preach the word. Not man's word. Not what, you know, you might believe to be correct or what you might feel is right. You've got to preach God's word. Because you go on there, and this is the reason, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear. Unfortunately, so often they don't want to hear the truth. He says, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Sure shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. So preachers need to preach the word. And elders, those who have stepped up and taken the office of an elder, they need to fulfill their duties as shepherds of God's people. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. He says, over which the Lord or the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased, he says, with his blood. That's your duty. And it's one that if we, or as elders, you must fulfill. Peter, Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being as lords over God's heritage," but being examples to the flock. We need elders who will perform their duty. We need that in the church. We need shepherds who are going to shepherd God's people. And for those of us as the flock, we need to follow them. We need to follow them. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 tells us the importance of doing so. They have to answer. You know, the office of the elder is an important office. And it carries with it a great amount of responsibility, and they've got to give an answer for how they have served. And now they have shepherded God's people, and we need to follow them. We need to support them. As long as they are, of course, fulfilling their duty as the Lord would have them. In the church, we need to provide for, you know, and understand the value of mutual edification, of being there for one another, looking out for one another, caring for one another. You know, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 there, you remember the Hebrew writer talks about not forsaking the assembly of the saints. Because we need to be building each other up. That's part of what we do here. As we gather together each Lord's Day, morning and evening, and if we have Wednesday evening Bible study or weekly Bible study somewhere, that's what this is, this mutual edification. It's building one another up. You know, I need to know that I'm not alone. I need to know that you are there. And that you are striving to live the same kind of life that I'm striving to do, and so that you are obviously probably running into a lot of the same problems that I'm running into, and so we can help one another. We can mutually edify one another, strengthen one another. Because it's not always easy to live the Christian life as we know. And we need to support our local church. We need to support the congregation that we have put our membership with. Support them by regular attendance. Not just Sunday morning. But regular attendance on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, you know, for every time, you know, the doors open, so to speak. Again, Hebrews 10, verse 25, don't forsake the assembly. You know, the fact that we are here, the fact that you have come here this evening, that's supporting the congregation. And it's important for each and every one of us, the others of us who are here, to know that you care enough to be here. That you care enough for one another. That you care enough for me to be here. So we need to support, as members, we need to support our regular, our congregation with our regular attendance. We need to be a part of, you know, the outreach programs that they put into place. We need to be a part of just the recreation that may be planned for, you know, just for good times and relaxation. We need to support our congregation. So the Bible has got to be our guide in our personal life. It needs to be our guide in our homes. And it's got to be our guide in the church. But how do we know what the guide is if we don't know our Bibles? So going back to the original question, how well do I know my Bible? I need to know the Bible well enough that it can be my personal guide. And then I can allow it to be my guide at home and here in the congregation of God's people. How well do you know your Bible? You know, again, this idea of biblical illiteracy, it wreaks havoc. Because there are so many different, you know, false teachings out there. And it's just unfortunate, but so many people just don't know enough about their Bible to know what is right and what is wrong. So what about you? What about me? That's what I want us to consider this evening. Ask yourselves that question. How well? How well do you know your Bible? If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, the Bible teaches us that we need to be if we want to have the hope of eternal life. The Bible tells us we need to hear and we need to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. We need to be baptized to wash our sins away. And we need to live, just strive to live as faithful as possible. Have you done that? If not, you've got a wonderful opportunity this evening. Because that's what the Bible tells you you have to do if you want to go to heaven. If you're here and your Christian life's not what it should be, then you have an opportunity as well. God wants you to come back. Wonderful brothers and sisters here, we want you to come back to be a faithful member of God's church. So if we can help you in any way, please respond while we stand, while we sing this song.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sinners are lost in life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power.